Hi, I'm the Strategist Cowboy. This week I am reviewing one German ale. It is an ale with a normal to high ABV level from the Bavarian brewery Brauerei Bischofshof, with at least headquarters in Regensburg. The beer goes under the adjective Heller, followed by the name of the beer. The word Heller means light, meaning pale. This is not a standard beer incorporated into Systembolaget's actual beer assortment. This week's first and only contestant is the Heller Weissbierbock.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Ding, ding, ding. Our first and only contestant this week is the beer assortment Heller Weissbierbock from the Brauerei Bischofshof. They have only been brewing beer since 500 years ago, I think. I am, of course, being ironic. Which is kind of odd, since I'm an Aspie. But it is easier for me to be ironic than to understand irony. I have a friend with autism spectrum 3 or so, who doesn't know what irony is, or when it is being used. But he is using irony all the time when he speaks, even if he doesn't recognize it. When I say that he is funny, he doesn't understand why. Welcome to the world of autism. Did you know that the beer style Weissbock combines the characteristics of light wheat beer with the strong malty elements found in Bock beer, i.e. high alcohol dark lager beers? The beer is often full-bodied and the alcohol content is usually between 6.5 and 9%, says Systembolaget. The ingredients in the Heller Weissbierbock beer assortment are water, wheat malt, barley malt, hops, and yeast. It is, as usual is with German beers, a standard Bavarian or Bayerische Reinheitsgebot, i.e. purity law beer. This beer is top fermented, and apparently all Bock beers are. I have been characterizing Bock beers as lager beers in the past, I suspect. But it makes sense now that I stand corrected, because Bock beers are pretty high ABV beers. I got fooled by the lager beer appearance on the bottles, I guess. The expiration date on this particular beer is late December 2023. I purchased this beer in mid-March 2023. It has been standing in my cooler since. Today it is late June 2023. The Heller Weissbierbock beer assortment comes in a size 50 centiliters, i.e. about a 17 liquid ounces bottle. The three-folded bottle label is mostly pale and with thin red/gray frames and with a black and red text, plus a capital B surrounded by the numbers 16 to the left and 49 to the right. I guess they have been brewing beer since then. The Heller Weissbierbock cost me 33 kroner. That is about $3.10. That is 73 cents per every 4 ounces of beer. 73 cents per every 4 ounces of beer. The preferred serving temperature on this beer assortment is, according to Sustainable Belonging, 8 to 10 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 46 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says 6 to 8 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 43 to 46 degrees Fahrenheit, about preferred serving temperatures. The Heller Weiss Beer Bock has got a 7.1% ABV level. 7.1%. How about the experience then? A yeasty aroma, but also I think I've from the aroma can sense that is they have tampered with the yeast strings because it smells artificial banana. And that's not good. Let's see here. Oi. It's got a 4 fingers tall head. And let's see if I turn on the lights. It's yellow in color, cloudy. Okay. That was the cloudiness, the color, the aroma, the foam. My first impression. Artificial. I don't like it. It's a bit sour too. But let's see here. I don't know if it's rich yet. I haven't gotten through this foam, through the foam of this beer. For a wheat beer, it's rich. It's half a wheat beer, half a barley malt beer. But it's it's sweet. Like if they put sweetener in it, sweetener sweet. It's yeasty, but not bread-like. And it's malty. The taste on my palate is artificially sweet banana. I don't like it. But it's not that bad. It's just that I don't prefer beers like they have tampered with the yeast strings in beers as they usually, I mean, not usually, but sometimes do in Germany. I think it's a little bit less common right now, these days, than was just a couple of years ago. I guess they have learned. It's sweet, as I said. It's not very bitter or hoppy. It's not, let's see here. Well, it's almost candy-like, yes, it is. And it's... banana, artificial banana fruity, but not really fruity. Just artificial. There are no spices in it, I can sense anyway. Maybe no, I don't think so. Maybe some peppery. I don't think so. The undertone is artificial. And the carbonation level, I don't know yet. It's not creamy. It's a little bit sour, or let's see, sour or acidic, since it's artificial. There are aberrations in it. It's not dark roasted. Of course, it's a wheat beer. Half of it is a wheat beer. Half of the beer is wheat beer flavor, and the other half is barley malt flavor. It's unfiltered. Let's see here. Pineapple. Does it have pineapple taste in it? No, not really. No pine needle. No apricot, I think. You can always interpret it into almost anything into it, but I don't think I want to, unless it's really prevalent in the taste in some way, or at least partly. No light bread, no banana. There is an artificial banana taste. Straw-like, no. Syrup, honey, I don't think so. And that's a good thing, that they don't have syrup in it. But it's sweet. No licorice taste, no clove taste, fudge taste, chocolate taste, coffee taste, raspberry taste. Wait a minute. No blueberry, no blueberry taste, no mango taste, no tangerine, I think. No. No. I wouldn't say tangerine taste either. Anyway, it's got a big, large head here. No raisin and no vanilla taste. It's really artificial. What about grading then? How many devils do I grade this beer? Well, I cannot grade it high. I must grade it pretty low. I grade this beer 3 devils out of 10 possible. I'm sorry, Bischofshof, or whatever you call it yourself. Das Bier, das uns zu Freunden macht. Well, I don't know. I don't make friends with you. Okay. Absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines, military or civilian. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underage or pregnant. This week's lesson. What is Putin going to do with Ukraine after he has conquered the country? Don't get me wrong. I don't want Russia to win the war. And I don't think that Russia will succeed in conquering Ukraine without near totally depleting Russia's resources. But the question is still relevant. Putin, after you have bombed and shelled Ukraine to ashes with cruise missiles and artillery, what are your plans for Ukraine? Whether you want to call it the western parts of Russia, or if you want to call it conquered Ukraine. Is it your plan to stomp Ukraine under your boots? Then mission accomplished. Is it your plan to make Ukraine into a playground for the Russian army and selected Russians? In what rubble of a building are you going to accommodate you Russian overlords? What exactly are you supposed to exercise superiority over when you cannot even wage a war that would leave room for something to rule over when peace finally comes? Or is it your plan to continue on fighting the war indefinitely against, quote, the West and NATO, as you call the Ukrainian forces? Is it your plan to continue on with your aggression in a different country, like for instance Sweden, or the Baltic states, or Finland? Or perhaps you want to conquer your allied Belarus? Is it your plan to stomp the European section of NATO under your boots? Is it your plan to destroy American hegemony and the petrodollar? You don't think it's just a little bit ludicrous by now, when you cannot even defeat a three times as small country in population that has only got a fraction of the weapons that Russia has? Granted, Ukraine has been receiving weapons and ammunition from the West, but the scale of it is not sufficient for Ukraine to win the war that you chose to wage against this country. You do know that your Russian-equipped Wagner soldiers proved their worth against the US in Syria. And the Wagner Group wasn't up to the task. They were worthless against the US Army. You do know that your two-week special operations campaign in Ukraine is on its second year now. Is it your plan to tax the Ukrainians under your boots? If it is, how long do you think that it will take for the Ukrainians to rebuild the country for you to be able to govern them? Is it your plan to enslave the Ukrainians? What kind of medieval monster are you? What is your plan? Do you have a plan? Or are you just being reactionary? The US does this and that, so we have the right to do this and that too, you stupidly say. You feel unfairly treated by the US and are butt hurt. But you don't give a damn about the small nations in your periphery. They are considered your inferiors and they have no rights, according to you. I hope that you forgive me for it, Putin, but I have no sympathy for you or your motherland, Russia, precisely because of this twisted Muslim-alike mentality. You seem to get along well with the Muslims. You have the exact same mindset, the mindset of evil. Never mind what the US does. I just explain to you why that doesn't count to me. As for us Swedes, we are still a moral people. There may be many Muslims or Islamists in my country, but we ethnic Swedes don't think alike with them. You, on the other hand, do. But you don't give a damn about moral fiber, do you? Whatever you want to accomplish with your special operation, I wish you good luck. You're going to need it desperately, as Russia is bound to be dragged down to hell with you yourself in the driver's seat. No, I don't really wish it good luck. I was being ironic. Who am I? My name is Roger Klang, and I'm an ethnic Swede, a patriot and a matriot, one among many in my country. We will never surrender. You may think that you can win against us, but in fact you cannot. We, unlike you people, are very good at warfare. You may think that we are a feminized country, but just you wait and see what it will feel like to get hammered by a bunch of Swedish women. Much like the Syrian minority Yazidi women hammered your equals, the ISIS turds. How much do you think that it will make your macho ideals suffer? And if you think that it is going to hurt to get hammered by a bunch of women, wait until you get hammered by Swedish men like me. Yes, we fight together, much like in the Israeli army. And you know how good they are. Well, we are no worse. Damned dam. The deliberate demolition of the Novokachovka Reservoir. Who did it? And why did they do it? Already in October 2022, Ukraine's President Zelensky said that Russian Zaporizhzhia troops mined the power plant dam in Kachovka. Russian channels ignorantly speculates about who did it. But we know that Russia has been expecting a counteroffensive to take place this spring or summer after the Rasputitsa was over. The Rasputitsa is the mud season. So what did Russia have to win by blowing up the damned dam? And why now? The obvious answer is that Russia, by blowing up the dam, halved Ukraine's possible angriffs areas. And by doing so, Ukraine could not wedge in an attack and roll up the Russian front at nearly as many spots. It makes it easier for the Russians to defend and redeploy troops to the north, and harder for the Ukrainians to attack. As long as the Rasputitsa had its grip on Ukraine, an offensive was out of the question. The dam was blown up at exactly the right moment for Russia. I guessed that some Ukrainian troops have been tied up with evacuating some of the 17,000 Ukrainians who were driven away from their homes by the deliberate flooding. Ukrainian plans for the offensive were likely negatively affected by the knocking down of the Novokachovka Dam, albeit the Ukrainians were expecting the possible Russian approach of knocking down the dam. But still, it wasn't by far optimal for the Ukrainians. It is possible that the Ukrainians' plans in case of such an event were less elaborated. We'll hold our thumbs for the Ukrainians. Or if we are believers, we'll pray for the Ukrainians that their offensive will be ultimately successful. I will personally do the latter. I have personally not been paying attention lately. I frequently have been eating Marabou chocolate blocks. I did read a while back that Ukraine had their attention or eyes on Marabou for violating Ukrainian terms of not doing business with Russia. But I figured that, what the heck, there are probably thousands of Western companies who do unnecessary business with Russia up to this day. I don't know why I haven't rectified my behavior earlier. It can have something to do with sparse information. But now I have decided to stop eating and drinking Marabou products altogether. I irregularly give money to Ukrainian efforts or buy something that is supposed to support Ukraine in its war against Russia. I don't want to be irrational and undo my own support for Ukraine. Please forgive me, Ukraine. It won't happen again. Unless you start approving Marabou. Also, I am aware of the staunch support Ukraine is receiving from the US. Therefore, I am likewise aware of that Ukraine doesn't want this weed, particularly me, to alienate the US too much. Ukraine is aware of our dilemma with the American plans of dumping my country. Or at the very least, they are aware of my assumption that they do plan my country's destruction, inside a bigger plan to make their own civilization and the UK civilization in Europe prevail victoriously on the EU country's expense by starting a war against its Iranian proxy forces in Syria and against Iran, but ultimately on China, over the remaining oil in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia is on the train. So are the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and maybe Kuwait. This common US-Israeli-Arab plan isn't very clandestine in these Middle East countries. They are in reality very open about it. So the Ukrainians have been looking between their fingers with me. It is not in Ukraine's interest to see this plan happen. Ukraine wants to stall it. They especially do not want to see this happen as long as Russia threatens Ukraine's southern coastal ports. And believe me, it isn't in our interest for Russia to seize the port of Odessa. You know that, Ukraine, don't you? And as for us Swedes, we don't buy oil from these Gulf countries. We are just an expendable pawn chess piece in this grand scheme of knocking over Europe. But we are about to score a new queen in this game. So we are one pretty important pawn, I would say. Here's a cynical twist in words for you people. In war, rarely more than 30% of the combatants and the civilian population die. In peacetime, 100% die. Which is more dangerous, war or peace? In the short perspective, war. In the long term, peace. There is nothing so deadly as a long period of peace. Not even a long period of war. In both cases, the mortality rate is 100%. It's not about how many die. It's about what age they are when they die. It's cynical, I know. But hey, you can always prove me wrong. Thank you and see you later, alligator. At a while, crocodile.